Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone following a busy Sunday in the National Football League. And, yeah, we're keeping an eye on some snow heading Saskatchewan's way. Locking up airports in Calgary, actually. Keeping an eye on the highway hotline as here we go. Another blast of winter.
How does Calgary handle snow?
Not well. Some of that snow they get is
I saw the pictures
ridiculous.
Today, and I was like, "Really? You're shutting down airports?"
That snow in Calgary sometimes can get wet and icy and gross.
Okay.
So,
all right,
coming off the mountains.
I mean, what are you guys, Vancouver?
Well, it's not like calling in the army for the people in Ontario. Yeah, we've been there. But we're keeping an eye on the weather in the extreme southwest of the province. Some snow-covered roads around East End and Shaunavon. As always, we ask you if there's a winter blast to keep us up to date, if you can, at 1-877-332-8255. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and let's begin with the news of the day in the Canadian Football League is the Toronto Argonauts trying to get our head coach. Yes, they requested permission to talk to Corey Mace, and Corey Mace said, nah, I'm good, thanks.
I can't tell you how much that this group loves each other, man. Coaches, football ops, players, and everybody included.
That was from Garbage Bag Day, but we know how much Corey Mace wants to run it back with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Toronto Argonauts right now. Lockers sound like, what's the term, dumpster fire with the way they had Ryan Dinwiddie jet to Ottawa this offseason. The Argos have also requested permission to talk to President of Football Operations of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Orlando Steinauer. He said, thanks, but no thanks, like Corey Mace. So they continue to, they're trying to swing for the fences that they're striking out around the Canadian Football League.
And I do not want to diminish the fact that this says a lot about the Rough Riders organization, what Corey Mace has built here, and what he wants to continue to grow. I don't want to diminish that, but I think him saying no to an interview for whatever position they are offering him on top of the coaching job says more about the Toronto Argonauts than it does about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
Corey.
I look at what Corey Mace has here, and he's quite, he won a great cup. He wants to build. He wants to continue to build. He's trying to pitch players to come here.
Yeah. And I don't want to downplay that. That's huge. It's amazing. I think Saskatchewan should be really proud that something is being built here that he wants to continue to be a part of. Right.
And the Toronto Argonauts are a bit of a, bleep show.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah. Anyway. Vanier Cup, Quebec stops a Sasky sweep with their third national championship.
And it's over. Les Bleus sont merveilleux. The Montreal Caravans win the Vanier Cup for the second time in 3 years with a command performance in Saskatchewan.
30-16 was the final. That was the 60th Vanier Cup. Just under 9,000 fans. That was the 12th. Trip to the Vanier Cup for the Huskies, and they're seventh
straight loss.
There is some good news. Riker Frank, who is from the Regina area, got to play his last game as a Husky and scored their only touchdown. So trying to focus on the positives there. That's one of them.
So Caravan 30, Huskies 16 in the Vanier Cup hosted at Mosaic Stadium for the first time ever. Congratulations to the organizers. $9,000's a pretty good crowd for a Vanier Cup in late November. As we get to the National Football League, the Cowboys have their biggest comeback in franchise history over the Eagles.
Aubrey up, and he's got it! The Cowboys win!
That was the game-winning field goal last night, 24-21, over the Eagles in a division rivalry game. Dak Prescott threw for 354 yards. It did not look good early. The Eagles were up 21-0 on the Cowboys until they floundered and the Cowboys stormed back. So the boys with a big win over the Eagles.
We'll stick with the NFL. The Raiders lose a coach and a game.
And they go to Simpson out of the backfield. He's got two tight ends blocking on the outside. He's got room. He bursts inside Raiders territory. One man to beat. He won't be caught. Touchdown, Simpson.
All right, 24-10 is the final there for the Cleveland Browns. And on the heels of the loss, the Raiders fired their offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly. And you were suggesting that this was 4 weeks too late. Or five.
What week is it? 12?
Yeah.
Maybe 12 weeks too late.
Okay.
For Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator.
Shedeur Sanders, not shy of confidence, gets his first win as a starter. And it was just announced that he will be the starter on Sunday when the Cleveland Browns host the 49ers. So
yeah, Dylan Gabriel's out of concussion protocol. The other rookie who started, but he's out of concussion, but they're going to stick with Shedeur for now against the 49ers.
Is that pressure?
You would think Shedeur Sanders got 10 sacks against the Raiders the way he was talking after the game. His one touchdown pass was, what, 65 yards? Do you know how far behind, how far down the field he threw that? 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It was a swing pass. Samson took 60 yards the other way. But yeah, well done. His intercept, he threw it in like triple coverage in his interception. But yeah.
Still a win for a backup.
And that's the first Browns rookie quarterback to win their first start in 30 years. Whew. How about that stat for the Browns? Meanwhile, Mikko Rantanen, well, he's had a run. This was Tuesday night.
He banks it in, charging after it. Heavy hit as he knocked down Romanov, and he went hard and dangerously into the boards.
And then here was the game against the Flames.
As Huberto comes back up, Coronado, he's hit hard by Rantanen, and Huberto comes right over.
Yeah, back-to-back cheap shots for Mikko Rantanen give him an automatic one-game suspension with the NHL's Department of Player Safety announcing that yesterday. Second game misconduct penalty for Rantanen occurred over the last week. So there you have it. Mikko Rantanen, good goal scorer, all of a sudden dirty player this week in the NHL.
Okay, so the Coronado hit is the one he got the suspension for. That was a bad, that's an avoidable hit. Like that's a dirty play. And then the Islanders hit, the one that Patrick Waugh flipped out about last Tuesday. Like if you look really close at that, he pushed that kid into the boards. So for me, I mean, everyone's sort of downplaying the dirtiness of the first hit, even though it was a major, right? But for me, I thought they were both pretty egregious. That's just my opinion on it.
So Mikko Rantanen's in trouble with the NHL Department of Player
Safety. If he's not Mikko Rantanen, he gets more than one game.
Oh, yeah. If he's Matt Rempe, he's in the penitentiary.
10. Yeah.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone, did we give away more cash in the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest? And was Connor Bedard offside? Connor Bedard said no to autograph seekers, caught on video. It has the hockey community and fans everywhere split. Is he a bad guy who should just sign anything offered towards him? Or should the autograph seeker pound sand when Connor Bedard says, no thanks, I'm not going to sign your stuff? That's coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Let's start off with the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. Daryl Lucician was our contestant waiting for a quick goal on Saturday in one of the 12 games in the NHL. Of course, if that happens, Daryl wins $300, which are jackpot. We've given up two $200 prizes. We've had a lot of goals in the first 20 seconds on Saturdays in the NHL. So how'd it go for Daryl this weekend?
Wrapped up the boards. Here's Burns with a quick shot. He scores! Brent Burns! 15 seconds into the game. He lets it fly from
Yeah, just like that, Daryl Lucician, you won $300 with the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest.
It was another close one, too, in the Oilers game. Roslovic got a goal in Florida against the Panthers in 25 seconds. So,
congratulations to Daryl. That means our jackpot goes back to $100 for this coming Saturday's game, and you can still register at CJME.com and CKOM.com. Three payouts already.
Yeah, it's huge.
Last year, we had to wait until, 17 weeks in. Marcel got $1,700 last year.
Yeah.
We weren't getting any quick goals. Well, we got three already this year, so sign up now, CJME.com, CKOM.com, and maybe you'll win some cash.
Brent Burns, Iron Man, is he going to take over Phil the Thrill?
What's he? He's at 939?
Yeah. Phil was at, he's in fourth right now. He's got to get back, get ahead of Yandle. And who's the other?
Was it Cogliano? I forget who it was.
It's not Cogliano.
But anyways, Kessel is the leader at 1,064. But Brent Burns is coming in. Old man strength from Brent Burns. Let's get to what Connor Bedard is facing right now. Controversy all over social media because the young star of the Blackhawks said no to some autograph seekers.
Connor, can you please sign a magazine for me, man? You can personalize it, please. You can personalize it. There's only three of us. I've never gotten your autograph before. You can personalize it.
We gotta go.
Please? What if I write to Joanna for you? I've never gotten you, dude. Please, just really quick. You can on it. I don't care. I got every single one of these magazines signed before. And you're the only person I've never gotten. What can I do to say yes? It takes 2 seconds to sign. Can you just walk and sign it, please? Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Connor, please.
Thank you, Connor.
So, clearly some autograph seekers tracked him down, got him on camera. When he says thank you, Connor Bedard takes the pen and he just scribbles on the draft magazine, and then the other guy comes up.
Do we know if that's his signature?
That is not his signature.
Okay, so he just
was like, here you go, here's a scribble. Being around pro athletes as long as I have, and especially in an NHL market in Edmonton, I remember when Sidney Crosby would make his way through Edmonton. They're stalkers. These guys stalk hockey players. They show up at restaurants. They show up at hotels. They show up on the random side of the street out of nowhere. Hey, can you sign this? Can I sign that? And they're getting it on video, so they have the, so it's authentic, right? They can show the video. See, here's the video. Authentic. That's him signing. And Connor Bedard's getting heat for it. There's heat on him going, just sign it. What's the big deal? But there's a lot more to it than that, in my opinion.
If you dig into it, the problem is these guys, they get money from companies to be exclusive with their product.
Yeah, Connor Bedard has a Fanatics deal and an Upper Deck deal for his autographs.
And the big names do, you can
McDavid has it.
You can be judgmental of it if you want, but they do it. It's another way of bringing in, you know, cash. And so I think if you're gonna, this is different. The autograph seeker thing, get a life. Like, what are you doing? Find a gig. I don't know. Drive Uber. Like, what are you doing? You're just being just a jerk. And I don't like it. But I think if you're at a Connor Bedard or a Connor McDavid or an Austin Matthews or a whatever, if you're at that level where people are going to be coming after you for autographs, I think you should be very vocal and upfront about what it is you, and I think McDavid does it. He's like, I don't know this for sure, but I don't sign unless it's a sponsored event. And I think that's what you need to do. And that should be, and that's probably what Bedard told these guys. And that part probably got cut off of the video. But you got to be honest with him. Right,
here's
the
thing: like, we've watched Connor Bedard here. There was an autograph signing with the Regina Pats that was only supposed to be in an hour and a half, and he was there for hours.
Yeah,
because of how many people want and how many kids wanted to sign. And he sat there and signed as much. They cut. I think the Pats had to cut the line. And a lot of people, why are you cutting the line? It's like, well, because Connor's got, he's got to go. So they had to cut the line, but he was there a lot longer than planned.
Yeah.
This isn't like Connor Bedard doesn't sign autographs, but now that he has exclusivity deals, yeah, these guys stop signing autographs.
So just tell,
it's like,
just
tell people that. I'm doing an autograph signing at the mall next week. Show up there, but I'm not, and they don't sign jerseys. Connor McDavid, there's a video of a kid trying to get a jersey signed at West Edmonton Mall, and he wouldn't sign it because he was only signing upper deck material. And the kid threw the McDavid jersey into the pond at West Edmonton Mall because he wouldn't sign his jersey. Like, I don't, he's getting a lot of heat because I know what it is. Ah, it takes a second to sign. What's the big deal? Help this guy make some money. But you send an awful precedent if you turn into an autograph guy. You will never be left alone as a professional athlete. I hope you're enjoying your Monday afternoon. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you. We'll be keeping an eye on the southwest portion of the province. Some snow-covered roads there already with a blast of winter coming in from the Calgary area that had some flights canceled and everything else. So winter driving conditions around Maple Creek, more snow-covered East End, Shaunavon area. Let us know what you're seeing out there on the highways at 1-877-332-8255. Well, over the weekend, a wild few weeks of Saskatchewan football wrapped up with the Vanier Cup in Regina. The University of Montreal wins their second Vanier Cup in 3 years and their third in their program's history, and they beat the University of Saskatchewan Huskies 30-16. Our Britton Gray was there covering the game. Britton, first off, how... tell people about this. Like, it was close for most of it, and then the Caravan just continued to pull away. Take us through the 60th Vanier Cup.
Yeah, it was a good battle between two teams, as you mentioned it. The Huskies were only down by four heading into halftime. It was very well played. It was close. And then the Montreal offense with that rookie quarterback, Pepe Gonzalez, boy, he is going to be a talent. He is someone to keep an eye on to do what he did in his rookie season. The offense just kept moving. They kept making plays. There were a lot of times where he threw the ball up and we were sitting in the media box going, wow, good catch. Like, those receivers were going up, getting the balls. They were just winning those battles. And the Husky offense just couldn't find the big play. They couldn't get downfield. I understand Daniel Wee was dealing with a bit of an injury. He wasn't as effective. And I think you really noticed that he couldn't be himself out there.
Pretty unique situation for a rookie quarterback to win the Vanier Cup.
Oh, and he's been phenomenal all year.
Second in the nation in terms of touchdown passes this season.
What's he look like? Pepe Gonzalez, as you said, he helped win this Vanier Cup.
He's not that big. He has some mobility, but he's not that big. When we talked to him after the game, he said he wants to get a little bit bigger. That's his goal for this next season because first-year university kid, usually you don't see them a lot, as you mentioned, going out and doing that.
Yep. Yeah.
But he's more mobile than you might think. Great touch on the ball. As I mentioned, a couple of those balls were placed in spots only his receivers could get. Some of them had to make a little bit of a dive and catch right on the fingertip, sure, but they were there. And he just looks like if he continues to develop, keep an eye on him for the future because he is quite the talent.
It's interesting to see a guy like that. Like, I'd be very curious to know what his quarterback room battle was this year. Did he steal that job?
So their quarterback got injured. I believe Senekal was back for his fifth season. Got here. He's already one of the best quarterbacks in entire U sports. He gets hurt. This guy comes in and they just keep rolling.
What does this say about the football in Mexico?
So he was born in Mexico, but he grew up in Quebec.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not like he's in Mexico,
but this might develop that program.
Hey, down. CFL 2.0. Randy Ambrosi was ahead of his time.
Yeah, lost.
But he is a great story because born in Mexico, came to Quebec at a young age and just fell in love with football. And now already a Vanier Cup champion.
I believe he speaks three languages too. He's Spanish, French, and English. So he is. It'll be interesting.
Alouette's kicker. I mean, you've got some talent out there, right?
You're going to hear Pepe Gonzalez's name for a few years in U Sports, and it'll be interesting to see.
Especially if 5 years of eligibility.
I'm wondering if any NCAA schools start taking a gander north and trying to bring him south. But of course,
there's a stigma against Canadian quarterbacks down there. I think even in the NCAA level, but.
Of course, it's a tough one with the seniors, right? A lot of Huskies closed out their U Sports careers. Seth Hundeby, though, you spoke to him after. He gets to finish off his U Sports career on the field. He hopes to be a star as a pro as a draft pick of the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
And I think he will be. You notice him everywhere out there. He's making tackles, can get pressure on the quarterback. He is a talent. Obviously, as you mentioned it, it's tough when you're a fifth-year player and you get that close and just lose. Because he said it when I talked to him, he would have loved a ring. But just playing with these guys, knowing that that's the last time this group's going to be together, last time he gets to wear the Huskies uniform, that's for him where the emotions really came from. That it was the end of his journey at the college football level.
Does U Sports need video review?
Now, there's one controversial play in that one.
Yeah, he was way over the line of scrimmage.
We don't know why they called that back.
So the play was this. Pepe Gonzalez throws the ball. He runs towards the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He's clearly over the line of scrimmage when he throws the ball.
Two and a half yards?
Yeah. And they throw the flag, and then they pick up the flag. And do they need video review?
They scored on that play, right?
Well, later on in that drive.
They did. The Huskies held them to a field goal there.
Okay.
At the end of that drive, but the next play was a 30 or 40 yard play that really flipped the field. But
what does Scott Flory think about video review and U Sports after that one?
He was very diplomatic. He didn't want to get in trouble by criticizing the refs, saying just at this level, there's no replay. So you have to just believe that they made the reason why they picked it up is the right reason. You just kind of have to believe that. With replay, I'm a fan of replay. I'm not the Daryl Davis get rid of replay. I think it has a place. I would like to see it in U Sports, but it's tough. How many of these places these kids play at have the capabilities to have all those camera angles? What's the quality of it? It would be tough to do at the U Sports level without significant investment from a lot of places, so I don't think you'll get there. But that was one where watching, just seeing it, replaying it black, he was clearly over the line of scrimmage.
It's a good point, though, right? About the cost involved, you're not going to get this because, I mean, right now they're worried about moving the goalposts back and shortening the fields, right? If there's a capital budget issue.
Well, they have a game at Libel. I don't know how many cameras will be on a game for so it would be different. But for a championship. Where there's a lot more cameras. But
I don't think so. You want to keep it the same as you have the entire season. You don't want to change the standard once you get to a championship.
You can't change
game.
The rules at the end of the season. No.
You can do whatever the heck you want.
I guess
you could. In theory.
I don't know. I don't like it.
So we put a bow on a U Sports season and a Saskatchewan football season, right? That was the last game. You have the Riders winning the Grey Cup. You have the Hilltops winning the Canadian Bowl. The Valkyries, again, dominant, right? The Thunder were great with the Hilltops in junior ball. The Rams were right there at the Hardy Cup final. What a year of Saskatchewan football.
Yeah, and things have really been building towards this year. We talk about the Hilltops and Thunder, sustained success. They've been really good for a long time. The Huskies have found that sustained success once again with Scott Flory there as well. The Rams are starting to become Hardy Cup regulars. They get there quite a bit recently under Mark McConkey. Football is in a great spot in Saskatchewan, starting at the grassroots to everything. I think this, even though the Huskies lost, it was a great celebration of everything, of where all these programs have gotten to in terms of being the mecca of football in Canada.
Britton Gray is our Green Zone Riders reporter, so you cover this team all year long. Are you surprised that Corey Mace said no to an interview with the Argos?
No, I'm not surprised. He loves it here. You can tell his family loves it here. He built a team made for Saskatchewan. He said that was the goal. I think this is the place he wants to be, and because football matters here. I think he realizes how important it is, and he's been in Toronto. he knows it gets lost in the shuffle out there. No one's really paying attention.
I said it with JB. He's best friends with Ryan Dinwiddie. And Ryan Dinwiddie are tight.
Yeah. So,
like, they'll go grab a beer together before they play each other. And it's like, what's going on out there, Ryan?
Yeah.
Ooh, Corey, I'm peace out. I'm out of there. Corey's not going to step into that. No way. But
not that we know that the two of them talked about the situation in there, but you do with a buddy over a beer. Corey Mace is
FaceTiming from the parade with Marshawn Lynch, who he hasn't seen in years. I think he might have a chat with Ryan Dinwiddie about what's going on with his personal life when he leaves to Ottawa.
Yeah.
But Britton, Rider fans should get used to this storyline. Toronto's not going to be the last team that comes knocking to gauge interest from Corey Mace to take on more roles as long as a head coach.
No, that's part of that success is that people do come after your players, your coaches. It'll be interesting. I don't think Corey Mace right now wants to take on the general manager role. I don't know what that'll be in 5 years.
That was going
to
be my question.
I don't know where his eventual development will take him. Right now, I absolutely think he loves Saskatchewan. He wants to be here. In 5 years, it's tough to say whether his goals have changed, how he's feeling, family stuff, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, I think you can feel confident that for now and probably in the next couple of seasons, he wants to stay here in Saskatchewan.
And one final note for Green Zone Rider reporter and Vanier Cup reporter Britton Gray.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! How about them Cowboys, Britton?
Oh, it was great. I have a lot of Eagle fans. I know friends who are Eagles fans. They love to let me know when they lose, so it was real fun for me to send some messages out yesterday.
21 points. That's crazy.
Yeah, it didn't start very well for the Cowboys, but it finished real good.
Maybe Jerry knows what he's doing. Quinnen Williams, 2-0.
Oh, yeah. They got the Chiefs on Thursday.
I forgot. This is the first time we've talked to Britton Gray since the big news. Britton.
Oh, great.
What do you think? Country Thunder. Creed. Your band. What if there's a Rider game that night?
We can find someone else to cover it, right? I just hope they bring out the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving halftime show type show with the people on the bands floating around. Once again, if you've never seen that Creed halftime show, you need to watch it. An all-time great moment in pop culture history.
What a weekend for Britton Gray. He's got the Creed announcement. His Cowboys come back and win. Wow.
Just riding high.
Gets to cover the Gray Cup. Got a beer poured on him by the championship head coach. What an amazing week for Britton Gray. More coming up here on the Green Zone. What an amazing week in Saskatchewan it was. 12 years ago today, we'll remember an epic Sunday in Saskatchewan next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Embridge Farm remembers.
On this day, November the 24th, where were you 12 years ago today? And Corey Sheets kept running.
Corey Sheets draws. Merwin in pursuit. But Sheets got him down. What a run for Corey Sheets. And with that run, it should be a Grey Cup rushing record.
It was a dominant, memorable, celebratory night in Saskatchewan 12 years ago today.
The 13th man could celebrate in 2013. Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
I think they announced an attendance of like 48,000 or something like that. But if you talk to anybody in Saskatchewan, I think it felt like the attendance must have been 200,000 people.
Were they shoehorning them in?
Everybody says they were there. And I'm like, that can't be possible. There was an attendance limit. If you weren't there in person, you were there in spirit. I'll never forget the damn coin toss. When the Riders won the coin toss, that place came unglued. It's like, oh, this is wild.
2027.
Oh, it was an amazing time. The 2013 Grey Cup, a dominant victory over the Hamilton Tiger Cats. As I think our post-game show continues to this day from that 2013 Grey Cup.
No one wanted it to end.
Nope. People stayed and stayed. I remember doing the post-game show, looking up and like, people, it's still packed. Like, you were in Winnipeg. That place kind of, it cleared out, but
well,
of course,
because they had security guards.
Yeah, the security guard. I don't think the security guards were kicking anybody out. It was like, yeah, security stay as long as you want.
Getting them out of the
just revel in this one,
Princess Auto. They were like, okay, enough. Like, let's go. I was outside for an hour, and I started to see the security guards not escorting. Like, they were coaxing. Okay, let's go. Come on.
Oh, what a night! 12 years ago, what a night! And the Riders win the Grey Cup. The biggest moment in franchise history was winning it at the historic Taylor Field.